Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
Last week, we started this whole series, and for those that are in this first time this week, we got a lot of new guests, or a couple new guests, and each week we'll probably be getting more and more, and as the fifth graders moving into sixth grade and all that fun stuff. But last week we talked about Summer, the Silent Killer. Right? And we talked about this whole idea, right? We showed this whole idea that it's not the thought that counts, it's the action when it comes to your relationship with God. And how summer can sometimes be the silent killer of your relationship with God. And all of a sudden, you get out of the habit of reading your Bible or showing up to youth group, because there's a lot of different things. You got work, you got sports, you got all sorts of stuff. And all of a sudden, it could go months and months, and you're like, oh, I haven't even been to youth group over the summer. And we talked about how summer can slowly start to deteriorate with your relationship with God. But God gave you summer 2014 for a reason. It's not just to get through. It's not just to, hey, see on the flip side, God. But God said, man, I have something in store for you, and I want you to do something in the summer of 2014. And God has this amazing plan for your life, right? But often we're just like Olaf, and we're just like, summer! And we don't even know the danger that summer holds. And so we talked about the Rube Goldberg. Has anyone been working on a Rube Goldberg at all? Not yet. Some of you guys are planning on it. I already told you, if you put one together and filmed it, then I'll give you a prize, right? And so all it is you have to have six steps in your Rube Goldberg. But a Rube Goldberg project is simply taking something simple like turning on a light switch or opening a door, but then making it super complex, like I flick a domino and it goes down, and then it hits a bowling ball that goes down, that raises this, that all of a sudden flies an airplane around, that hits the light switch that turns on the light. Right, it's like something super complex that you're like, why on earth? So that was a challenge I put out there, and this was the reason we talked about the Rube Goldberg. Was you have no idea at the beginning what the end outcome will be, because they seem like two separate things. And this summer, you have no idea what your conversations might be, what your decisions to prioritize, how they will impact other people that you might never ever meet. That you can impact your neighbors, daughters, best friends, girlfriends, fathers, wife. You're saying, what? Like, you don't understand the impact that you can have in the conversations that you have with people. And if you start to take every conversation and everything intentional and saying, God, I'm going to prioritize you. I'm not just going to let sports dictate my life. I'm not just going to let the job or my girlfriend or my boyfriend dictate my life. I'm going to make you the first priority. And then all of a sudden, when you make that decision, you have no idea how that's going to impact somebody else's life and impact eternity. Because we said this, what you prioritize this summer will echo in eternity. You have no idea your choices, how they will impact all of eternity, right? Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16 said, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And so we talked about, Pastor Donnie, you don't understand. You know, I can't miss these sports days, these open gyms. You don't understand. My boss won't let me get out here. You know, you don't understand. My families packed vacations all throughout the summer. You know what? When you honor God, God will honor you. When you honor God, God will say, you know what? I see that. I understand that. I'm going to bless you because you're putting me as your top priority. Because here's the thing. Busyness doesn't equal success. I used to fall into that lie, but busyness does not equal success, right? And some of you guys are thinking, I really know somebody that should be here, but they're too busy to be here because summer's starting, they're at somewhere else. So, if you do know that, if you get online, by the way, all of our, or most of our sermons are online. So you can tell them, get online, listen to the message. But that's a little segue. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Because often our summers get busy, our relationship with God takes a back seat. And when school starts up, or a new relationship, or all of a sudden something bad happens, we're all of a sudden be like, oh my goodness, I need God. God, get out of the back seat. Get up here. I need your help. And all of a sudden, it's this dilemma of, oh no, right? So we're trying to prevent the back seat God, and we're saying, hey, we want to get him in the front seat, because when we put him in the back seat, all of a sudden we're on survival mode. And guess what? We are not made, in the summer of 2014, we are not made to survive. We are made to thrive, right? And I've said this so many times before, but survival is all about, I just got to get through. I just got to get through. Just another day. Don't worry. I'm just another day. Just a couple more. And even sometimes I feel like this. It's like, oh, just get me to bed and tomorrow will be awesome, right? Just get me to my pillow, right? Just get me to the weekend. Just get me to next month. Just get me back to school. Get me out of my parents' house for a couple hours, right? Just get me out of here, right? That's what survival says. Thriving says, you know what? Yeah, it might be a stinky circumstance right now, but I know that God has me here for a reason, and I'm going to take this adversity, and I'm going to grow from it. I'm going to take this pain, and I'm going to grow from it. I'm going to take this opportunity of just sitting here watching hours of Netflix, doing hours of video games, doing hours of just throwing little pieces of paper at my brother or sister just to annoy the poop out of them. I'm going to take this opportunity, and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to invest it into spending with you because I want to thrive. I want to actually do something with my life, right? Sometimes we question why we do things, right? Why do we do the church thing? Why do I even follow Jesus? Often in the summer times, I always did this thing of, like, I'd sit in bed and be like, why do I even go to church? Why? Oh, why? Tell me why. Ain't nothing but heartache. Thank you. All right, so sometimes we just ask the question why, and I'm a firm believer. Here's the thing. I'm a firm believer that we can learn from each other, and that if we don't, we tend to go into survival mode. That we can learn from every experience we have. Every frustration, every heartache, every time we get ticked off with our parents or siblings or boss or even ourselves, that we can learn from those moments. And if we don't, then we often turn into survival mode and we just say, I just want to feel good. I just want to feel good. I don't want to, you know, whatever it takes to feel good. And then all of a sudden, we've missed the whole opportunity of saying, of putting God first, to God saying, man, I wanted to grow you to learn what it means to have patience, to learn what it means to love people, to learn what it means to go after the one, right? See, thrivers take every opportunity to learn, right? There's some of you guys, especially if you graduated, you might have heard this, never stop learning. Be a lifelong learner. That is the worst line ever. And I used to think, oh my gosh, Why would anyone say that? But the thing is, it's so true in the sense that, okay, you don't always need to read every book known to man. But be a lifelong learner in the sense that you learn from everything. Don't ever get to the place where you think that you got it all together. Oh, don't worry, I've done this before. Oh, this is old. I've done this. Whatever, right? Get to a place where every time you go and do something, you learn from. I've done so many different soup kitchens and mission trips, and yet today, we had some of us went to a soup kitchen or at the Salvation Army, and it was an awesome experience of just learning and loving on some people as they're coming in and just serving them and saying, I want to be God's hand extended. And it was so incredible to do that. And some of you guys are signed up for Friday, and I'm excited about that opportunity. But make the most of every opportunity, because here's the thing. This summer, you might think, oh no, this summer, I'm just going to lay back. I'm just going to get a tan. I'm just going to, you know, do whatever. But this summer, I want you to think about this. Each day, we are called to do something with our lives, to learn something, and to grow somewhere. Each day, we are called to do something, to learn something, and to grow somewhere. Man, that's a big challenge. It's a big thing to think of, because often it's like, what have you learned today? How not to put my fist through a wall when I get frustrated, right? It's one of those things that often we don't realize that we could go through months and months and, yeah, I haven't done diddly squat, right? We haven't done anything. And so this whole idea is, God, we want to learn every day. And here's this question that pastors have posed to me, and I've posed to several other leaders and pastors, and this was the thing. What is God telling you, and what are you doing about it? What is God telling you, and what are you doing about it? That's a tough question to answer, even for me. It's a tough question to answer. See, we filmed our graduated seniors this last week, and we had them discuss, you know, why do you follow Jesus, and what's the advice that you could say, hey, you know, how can we learn something from them, right? Remember I said every conversation, every moment that we have, we could always be learning. So I wanted to take this opportunity to show this video. I'll just warn you, for some of you guys that are like video gurus, this video, it was shot with my iPad and edited on my iPad. And so it is really frustrating to do this on my iPad. So the audio is not great, but I do want you guys to realize, hey, these graduated seniors have advice and have some wisdom that I'm excited about what God is doing. And to say, you know what, we can learn something. So let's hear what these guys have to say.
So why do you keep following Jesus?
Because I haven't really, he's done so many great things in my life.
So don't put that in there, that's accurate.
I wouldn't know what to do without him, I guess. Like, I mean, he's opened my eyes to so many things. He's blessed me with funds for college. I just think it's because of praying so much and being so grateful for the opportunity of getting an education. He's blessed me with a mission trip, which opened my eyes completely. I don't know, I'm going to cry. My piece of advice would be that if you have the opportunity to go on a mission trip, to go, because they're such an eye-opening experience, and like, you come in one person and you leave completely changed. I have the opportunity to go to church every day, but I mean, like, every Sunday, every Wednesday, but there's people who don't even have a church to go to, but they have, like, I don't know, they just pray. They don't have the opportunity to go and worship with instruments and stuff. So you have the opportunity to go because it's life-changing. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. Don't party.
The reason I live for Jesus is because I know that living for Him is not wasting my life. It really isn't. I know that that's where joy is found. I know that He's the one that deserves my life. No one else deserves for me to live for them. Because He gave His life for me, I should at least spend my life living for Him. And also, it's not like I don't reap benefits from serving Him. I get joy, I have better friendships since serving Him, and I find my purpose in Him. It's amazing. Some advice I have for you guys still in high school is to not be afraid to lean on other Christians. It's okay to need other people's help. I know I always thought I could just do it on my own, but really, after being friends with other Christians and being able to communicate with them things that you struggle with, it's a lot easier when you lean on other people's shoulders. So don't be afraid to do that.
I follow God because He gave everything for me, and it's my right to give my everything back to Him.
What advice would you give to others, high schoolers, middle schoolers coming up?
You have to expect and accept change, because crap happens all the time in high school and in life in general, and you just have to learn to get through it and be patient. The second one would be just to be more understanding with people that you have to deal with every day, because everyone's going through stuff, because high school is a really challenging time, so you just have to be patient with them too. And finally, just have fun. Make a lot of friends. Don't be too lonely. And make sure you don't binge watch Netflix for hours on end. Maybe only like 2 hours a day or something like that. Nothing too major. Jesus because he's my hope. In a world where there's no hope, you're miserable. And I know that here in this world, it's just temporary. So I guess I follow Jesus because I want to spend eternity with him. So.
Leaving Reality Youth Ministries and stuff, what would be one piece of advice that you would give students?
First of all, be friends with everyone because everyone needs a friend and you're going to need a friend. And it's so much nicer to just be able to talk to anyone. Like, you see them and there's no awkward situations because you know everyone. You're like, yeah, this can work. I had a really big problem with bringing my friends from school because I was selfish and I didn't want to share my church friends with my school friends. But you should definitely do that. You should bring your school friends. Because it's more fun, because other people did it, and I regretted not doing it, and I still regret not doing it. And, like, I think it's really important that everyone finds someone who's an adult to talk to. Like, I'm friend, like, Heather, like, is that for me? Because that's really important. Your peers, like, all of my closest friends, yeah, I can talk to them, but sometimes they're in the same place that I am, or they're, our paths are all different, but it's easier to find someone who's been walking in the faith a lot more and like a longer time so that you can talk to them.
Awesome. So, what incredible wisdom being just pouring out of their every orifice, and it's just great. So, ears, nose, mouth. So, anyways. But they're talking about staying connected, talking about, staying connected with people. When you do come, getting connected with people to where you say, you know what, we can't do this life alone. And so often the summer can be the silent killer of friendships where we're thinking we'll just wait till next year to invite our friends, wait till next year to talk to people about my issues. You know, I'll just, you know, the summer's kind of just easy breezy. Everyone knows. You kind of just peace out. But God's saying, man, I didn't create this life just to be lived alone and for you to get through it a couple months. You know, every day God has something for you. Every day he has a friend that you need to be and a friend that you need to share to. Because this is what's crazy. Do you realize that you and your friends could literally, not figuratively, literally change the world? And I think about that in the sense of Mark Zuckerberg, Mr. Facebook. Just him and a group of guys came up, and if you've seen the movie Social Network, you've seen a little bit of his story. But it's this whole idea that all of a sudden, him and this group of guys have this idea, and it kind of just percolates, and it kind of just, they start forming it, and all of a sudden they start to implement it, and now Facebook has changed the world of social media and changed the world as we know it. Like, very little people do not have Facebook. There's a huge variety across the globe that connect to one another through Facebook. Businesses connect to one another through Facebook. They look at you through Facebook. And so it's one of these things that, man, just a couple of guys changed the world. And how often that could be us anywhere in this place. A couple of guys change the world. A couple of you and your friends are going to change the world. And so my question tonight is, are you going to let the culture change you, or are you going to change the culture? Are you going to let the culture change you, or are you going to change the culture? Because that's why God puts you in this place. And so stop coming up with excuses. Oh, that's just the way it is, and all that stuff. And what are you going to do this summer to make an impact on the culture around you? Because you can't do it alone. I want to talk about three guys in the story of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel 3. And these three guys were these three friends. And their name is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Rakshak and Benny, some people call them, right? And so it's this story of these guys, which is incredible. So let's go back to the day of where these guys were, right? They're Jews, and they're in Babylon, which wasn't good.
Babylon basically had conquered all of Israel and all this stuff, and so they were taking over these Jews, and all of a sudden the Jews started to get so comfortable with that culture of worshiping other gods and all this stuff, to where you could hardly notice the difference between Jews and Babylonians, and you could hardly notice the difference between, oh, you know, are they a Christian? Do they go to church or do they not? And that's kind of how we relate it to this world right now. And so what happened was these guys started to become bigwigs and they started to be put in places of authority and all that stuff. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebi, the big K-N, right? He decided to, hey, man, people love me. I'm going to make it even easier for people to love me, and I'm going to make this huge statue, and we're all going to bow down, and we're going to worship it. It's going to be crazy. And you're like, that sounds silly, right? But how often does that sort of stuff actually happen in our life right now, to where we will pay hundreds of dollars to go to concerts and stuff like that? I love it when you go to concerts, and you're at a secular concert and stuff, and they're like, hey, just throw your hands up, yeah, woohoo! And then all of a sudden, you go to like a Hillsong conference and they're like, yeah, just throw your hands up and let's worship. And it's almost the exact same look sometimes because what? We all are worshiping something, and some people worship these idols and putting their effort in this idol up above, whether it's people, whether it's things, whether it's just anything. People put stuff up there because they long to go after something. So all of a sudden we find ourselves there. And see, these Babylonians started to treat them like they're on the same level. And see, here's the thing. Rakshak and Benny, they weren't gonna do this. They're like, forget this. This isn't gonna happen, right? We're not gonna bow down to this guy. We're not. All right, Kanye West, you're cool, but I'm not lifting my hands and doing whatever you tell me to do, right? I'm not gonna do that. All right. And they started to refuse. And all of a sudden, Big N was getting frustrated. King Nebuchadnezzar was like, "What?" And so he was getting mad. And these little guys, do you know tattletales? You know, anyone ever have a tattletale, right? These little tattletales are like, they're not doing it right. They're not actually doing it. And they're like, "What the heck?" Right? They're not doing it right. And so it's one of these things where they got told on, and all of a sudden King Nebuchadnezzar was like, "All right, guys, it's okay. Just do it next time. We're all going to lift our hands. We're all going to bow down. We're all going to worship this cool idol because it's awesome, because it looks just like me, right? It's going to be great." And they're like, "This." I love their response. These guys are like, okay, Daniel 3, verse 16 to 18. It says, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. Because he was saying, come on, guys, just do it. It's going to be okay, right? Why would you not do it? And they're saying, man, we don't even need to tell you why we're not going to do it. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of a blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. See, here's the thing. If they didn't worship that statue, they were going to get thrown in this big pit of fire. And some of you guys remember this story. It's a big pit of fire. It's like, it's not like a little grill, like cooking some burgers, and you just stick your hand. Owie, that hurts, right? No, this was like engulfing your flesh. Everything is gone kind of fire. And so here's the thing. These guys had to make a decision. And often we have to make a decision in the priorities, because when we make a decision, often it will cost us our friendship, it'll cost us maybe our job, it'll cost us our position on the team, it'll cost us when we prioritize God above everything else, because following God takes determination. Are you willing to say to your coach or your friends or your boss or maybe even your parents that you want to prioritize God? And that might mean that you have to wake up early to get extra hours to work. That might mean you have to wake up and do more chores. That might mean you have to give your sister or brother bath time for a month, right? Are you willing to go the extra mile and say, you know what, God, it's going to take crazy determination, but I'm going to go after you with everything I got? Because here's the king's response to their little thing of saying, dude, we don't even need to present a defense to you, right? In 19 verse 20, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was distorted. You guys ever see your parents this mad? Like, it's like, Mom, I broke your favorite glass. And they're like, no. Mom, I wrecked your car. Oh, my gosh. It's like, oh, my goodness. Right? You don't ever, ever want to see them like that. Right? It's scary. He was so ticked off, his face was distorted. Like, I can't even imagine. What does that even look like? It's crazy. It just turns into a dragon or something. Right? He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than was customary and ordered the strongest guards in his army to bind them and throw them into the furnace of a blazing fire. All right, so when you're mad and ticked off, you make some stupid and rash decisions. And he did all of this in a hurry. He was like, get the strongest guys out here. I'm going to show them who's boss. They're not going to escape. I'm going to show them how great and powerful my posse is. And then all of a sudden, let's turn the heat up and let's just fry these suckers, okay? And then so what happens is... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, right? Because standing up for God can sometimes be a scary thing. So, but this is more than just standing up for yourself or a bully, or more than standing up and saying, you know, that's not right. I mean, they were literally having death right there. So what happens? And this is what's crazy. 7 times hotter, these guards decide to throw them in. They get closer, and as they're getting close, they're like, one, two, one more step. Whoosh. And they, because it is so hot, the guards burn alive and just are like, whoosh. Right? And it was crazy. All of a sudden, it's like, I could just imagine King Nebuchadnezzar was like, oh, dude, snap. Why did I send my strongest guys poop? Right? And so, but they at least got the job done because the guys... the three of the boys fell over, and these guys, Rakshak and Benny, goodness, these three guys, they were estimated between to be the ages between 15 to 19. Those were the ages of these guys that were like, no, we're standing up for God, right? So. 3, verse 24 to 25. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, because this is what he saw, was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, was there not 3 men that we threw bound into the fire? And they answered the king, true, O king. He replied, but I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the fourth has this appearance of a god. Guess what? Scholars say that fourth person was Jesus, before he came to earth, Jesus incarnate, walking around protecting them. All right, and then it goes on to say, and so in verse 27, the satraps, the perfects, how would you like your job title to be that? What do? I'm perfect. Right? Some of you girls are like, that's what I do. What are you talking about? Right? The perfects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire, check this, the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their tunics were not harmed, and even the smell of fire did not touch them. Even the smell didn't come from them. They didn't even smell like they were hot. They didn't even smell like fire. Are you kidding me? You guys ever go to Starbucks? And like, I did this the other day. I went to Starbucks in the morning. It was like 9 o'clock. And then I met with Pastor Kerry at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I sat down and Pastor Kerry was like, did you go to Starbucks today? I'm like, what? She said, you smell like Starbucks. Like, you ever been to a place where it's like the smell just stays on you? You go to the lake water, and you just smell like lake water. Or maybe some of you people have been around like smokers, and like the smell of smoke like stays with you. Like, they didn't even smell. They were in this fire that had that the strongest men were burned alive, and they didn't even smell like fire. They didn't even smell like it. They smelled like Old Spice, right? They smelled like this crazy stuff that was like, what on earth? And see, here's the thing. They didn't just survive the fire. They thrived in it. They didn't just get through and were like, sucker, I told you it wasn't going to do anything. No, no, they were walking around and they're like, like they're doing the chicken dance in the fire, right? That's how confident they were. and because Jesus was walking around with them. And so they come out, and King Nebuchadnezzar, what he does is he's like, this is crazy. And so he starts to bless God. He's like, man, your God is obviously a lot higher than any God that we ever have around here. And so he actually promoted these guys. So instead of dying, instead of surviving, they thrived. That's crazy. You had three options: die, barely survive, or thrive. No one thought thriving was an option. No one really thought surviving was either. And yet, they thrived in it. And so often, we look at that in our lives, and the fires that we go through sometimes, and the frustrations that we deal with. And Donnie, you don't understand the kind of conversations I have to have with my parents, with my coach, with my teammates. You don't understand the kind of stuff that I have to deal with my siblings and all the stuff. And all of a sudden, God is saying, you know what? I don't want you just to survive through the fire. I am walking with you straight through this fire, and it's time to thrive, because when you come out of it, something incredible is going to happen, and people are going to see that your God is greater than any circumstance that comes against you. Yeah, you can kind of give it up for Jesus right there. Some of you guys are like, I don't know. So how do you let the stench, how do you not let the stench of summer stick with you? How do you not let yourself burn and even smell like fire, even smell like the fire of laziness, of apathy, of just taking a break from Jesus this summer? Two things, two ways we do that. First way is stay connected. Stay connected. Don't fill your schedule so full that you have no time for the opportunities for growth. Schedule in prayer, schedule in Bible reading, and connecting with like-minded friends, not just at church, but outside of church. Some of you guys can't even do some of the outreaches that we plan. Why? Because your schedule is so packed. What's more important? I'm just saying. I'm not saying work is bad. I'm not saying sports are bad. I'm just saying, are you prioritizing God in a way that you can give him glory in every aspect, or are you prioritizing yourself and what you think you have to accomplish? You don't understand. I got to get all this money for this summer. You know what? You don't think that God can do that for you when you say, God, I'm going to prioritize you first, right? Prioritize God first. Stay connected with like-minded people that are willing to fight alongside of you. Get those Rack Shack and Bennies to come alongside of you, to come with you when you go through those fires, and say, man, I need you to stand here and let's do the chicken dance together, right? I don't want to do the chicken dance alone in this fire. Let's do it together, right? 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Talking about this whole idea that in this life, if we say we love Jesus and we say that we're Christians and stuff like that, that we are meant to be a body together. And we're not meant to just be a little finger, a little pinky finger off by itself. What's that doing over there? I don't know. That's Aaron Fall. She's a little pinky all by herself, right? She can't do anything, just a little pinky all by herself, right? She needs to be connected with somebody else. She needs to be connected to the body, and we can't do life alone. We need one another. So that's the first one, stay connected. Second one, and I love this because as I was coming up with this this sermon, I realized that it came right in line with Pastor Aaron's sermon that he preached this Sunday. And I was like, maybe God's trying to tell somebody something, right? Because this was the second one, is boldly chase Jesus. Stay connected with one another. Stay connected with opportunities. Stay connected at the church. Stay connected. Don't try to do this thing by yourself. Don't try to survive summer by yourself. But second is boldly chase after Jesus. Boldly chase after God. Don't allow the culture to define you. Define the culture by Christ in you. Now that's good. Don't allow the culture to define you. You don't understand, this is what everyone does. You don't understand, this is what you just got to do. If you want to make the team, you just got to be here. If you want to get the pay raise, you just got to be here. Don't allow the culture to define you. Define the culture by Christ in you. Be the best at everything that you need to be at. Be the best worker. Be the best athlete. Be the best student. Be the best, the best sibling, the best child for your parent. Be the best. But don't allow the culture to define you. Define that culture by having Christ in you. Acts 4, verse 13, and even Pastor Aaron talked about this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that these guys were unlearned and ignorant men. I mean, these guys were just whatever. Right? They weren't anything special. They marveled. These guys marveled because they took knowledge of them and that they had been with Jesus. I love that. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled and they took knowledge. And they're like, man, what is the deal? And they realized that they had been with Jesus. They had a boldness because they had been with Jesus. And see, Pastor Aaron said this one line, and I'm stealing it. Boldness is a byproduct of a life that is seeking Jesus. Often we want to be bold. Man, I want to be bold like Rakshak and Benny and go up there and be like, no way, Jose, throw me in the fire, punk. And do-do-do-do-do-do-do, right? No. Like, they didn't go up there saying, yeah, dude, I'm going in the fire, sucker, right? They weren't saying that. They're saying, you know what? I'm not going to bow to you. Why? Because I choose to follow Jesus. And I'm only able to say this, and you're only able to throw me in the fire because I follow Jesus. They didn't say Jesus. They were talking about God. But this whole idea is you can't deal with me the way you deal with other people. I have this boldness inside of me because I follow Jesus. Don't chase after boldness. So often we just want to be the awesome people that stand up and are like, you're going to hell. You need Jesus, right? I don't care. Who's with me, right? Don't go after boldness. Go after Jesus, and the boldness will be a byproduct of that. Those three friends didn't get in the fire because they wanted to be bold. They were chasing after God boldly. And so God wants to use you, even if you don't know how, even if you don't know why, but he wants to walk with you and through you. And he says, you know what? This summer of 2014 is going to be one of the most incredible summers of your life if you just let me use you through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not decide to start working on their relationship with God after they were told they're going in the furnace. It's not like, hey, you guys aren't bowing down, you're going in the furnace. Oh, poop. Dear God, I pray. No, they're like, no way. Often we get like that, though. Often something bad happens, and we're like, oh, goodness, God, bail me out of this one, and I'll never forget to read the Bible again. Bail me out of this one. No, see, they were bold because they had this relationship with Christ that was on. They had this relationship with God that was ongoing. They had constantly been developing a heart after God. Are we constantly developing a heart after God? Your relationship with God doesn't need to just survive this summer. It needs to thrive. Your relationship with God is too great. It's too great just to say, eh, I'll work on it later. Eh, when I get back. Eh, it's too great. It's too great a risk just to say, ah, I'll get to it later. Man, don't just survive the summer in your relationship with God. Make it thrive. Amen? We're going to break into some huddles real fast, but first let's pray, and then I'll break you guys up. Dear God, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for who you have called us to be. Lord, that you are everything to us. And Lord, we don't want to just survive. God, we want to thrive in everything that you have created us and have called us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you open our eyes to see how we need to thrive in every circumstance, how we need to choose you, how we need to chase after you boldly, God. God, we don't want to just mediocrely be friends and think of you as an acquaintance. But God, we want to know you passionately. God, we want to have a deep relationship with you. God, we want to be bold in you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we make some decisions, as we prioritize you this summer, as we go after you with everything that we have, Lord, that you would meet us. God, that you would see our need and you would fill it. And God, that you would give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I pray that these students know that there is a God who passionately cares about them and loves them, and that I passionately care and love them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com. Or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.